Belinda Audio and Gill Books present this unabridged recording of Bullyproof Kids, written by Stella O'Malley and read by Emma Powell. Every day, children in schools all around the world eat their lunch in toilet cubicles. Others spend entire mornings in class silently agonizing about who might hang out with them at lunchtime. Millions immediately panic when they hear the familiar ping from their mobile and they realize that yet another so-called friend has posted spiteful venom about them on social media. As a psychotherapist, I felt compelled to write this book in response to the sheer number of people who come to me whose lives have been blighted by bullying. Parents come to me because they are devastated that their children are being bullied. Kids who are being bullied also come to me, and the bewildered pain that often characterizes the initial sessions is harrowing. Not only that, but I also often work with children who find the social aspect of their lives difficult, the kids who are hanging on the edges of the group. These kids feel they don't quite fit in, and they aren't even sure they want to. But they live in a world obsessed with popularity, with sociability, and with counting likes on their social media. It is estimated that approximately 10 to 15% of any given group of children repeatedly bully others, while approximately 10 to 15% of children are repeatedly targeted by bullies. Although physical bullying decreases with age, on the other hand, verbal, social, and cyberbullying peaks between the ages of 10 and 15. Thankfully, as teenagers grow older, they bully less, and usually by the time they leave school, the prevalence of bullying is significantly reduced. Although girls are more likely to use social bullying as a way to wield power over another, while boys tend to use physical violence more often, it doesn't really matter whether the bullying is physical, social, emotional, or cyber. Bullying reaches deep into a person's psyche and shatters the sense of self. Girls might be subtler, using gossip and exclusion, while boys are more obvious, and yet boys tend to bully more often and they keep at it longer. The child who has been bullied often feels deep down that they have been viewed, judged, and then stamped as not good enough, and their trust in other people's goodness is destroyed. The thing about bullying is that the humiliation and shame is almost overwhelming. Each little kid who has been bullied thinks that this is their individual failure, and they usually blame themselves. They may feel relieved and even vindicated 20 years later when they discover that it wasn't their fault, nor were they alone in their experience. But the anguish of being abandoned and humiliated by their peers at a crucial stage of development often leaves many long-term scars. Within the counselling context, I often meet many children whose disdainful attitude towards the loners and freaks in their social domain is downright disturbing. When I challenge these otherwise considerate and kind kids, they tend to look bemused, shrug their shoulders, and mindlessly dismiss the pain of their peers. Other bystanders wring their hands in concern, but tend not to do anything that will actually help the target. Schools, usually more focused on children's education than their emotional well-being, tend to hope the exclusion or the bullying might be a molehill rather than a mountain, and so they tend to underplay any bullying.